Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Got another dude!
Hey! What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Dudes to the right, dudes to the left, stuck in the middle with you.
Got another dude!
Heisman Trophy. Bronco Nagurski Award. Ultimate dudes.
Got another dude!
O-line you, bunch of dudes.
Lot of dudes.
Yeah!
Another dude in the house!
Yeah. Welcome to the Lot of Dudes podcast, Season 2, Week 7. Raleigh, North Carolina was founded in 1792, receiving its namesake from Sir Walter Raleigh, the 16th century explorer. Sir Walter's contribution to North Carolina was sponsoring the city of Roanoke, better known as the Lost Colony. Ironically, it was the Pilgrims from Plymouth that looked lost on Saturday, falling to the Wolfpack by a score of 28-23. BC drops to 4-2 on the year, and like Roanoke, any chances of playoff contention have officially been wiped out. On today's episode, we'll recap what the F happened on Saturday, revisit our tailgate ability ratings from last episode, and break down everything that would have to go wrong to somehow lose to Louisville this weekend.
Matt, you said it, our long college football playoff dreams are now officially dead. What, an awesome weekend we had in Raleigh, really except for 12-3 on Saturday afternoon, and that was about as bad as it got. So missed opportunities continue to be the story of Boston College football. And at this point, all we can do, I guess, is pick up the pieces and try to get back on track for a very winnable game homecoming weekend.
So 15-0 is officially no longer in play. 14-1 is also officially eliminated from contention. 10-2, and I won't go 13-2. 10-2 is still very much alive, but tell you what, we're going to have to look a hell of a lot better in order to make that a reality. Some major adjustments need to be made. Top down, none of the units look good for the first 40 minutes. Coaching, offense, defense, special teams is actually good, believe it or not, right? But I'll tell you, Matt, that's not the team we expected. There's something about this team not being able to go on the road. There's something about this coaching staff that can't get these guys ready. There's something about these guys that just can't figure it out against good competition. So it's all the above, and it's really disappointing, compared to the offseason hype and everything we thought coming into the season, particularly after the first three games of the season or so.
Yeah, and we tweeted it out, during the game, but to be completely honest, this is the most deflated and disappointed I've been with this program, in really a full decade, which I think says a lot because we've obviously had plenty of lows. But when you take all the factors, when you look at the hype that we had coming in, the excitement we had around the team based on what we saw in the back half of the schedule, and then even getting to 23rd in the country, looking further at how, bad the rest of the ACC is, this just really seemed like the perfect storm for it all to come together. And, pretty much as quickly as it came, it has vanished. And again, it's even more frustrating because we know that the talent is there. We saw what we did in the last, 18 minutes or so, and we saw that we have the ability. I just don't understand why we are completely allergic to putting this together for a full 60 minutes and a full season.
Yeah, not even close to 60. I mean, it was really outside of that last 18-minute stretch or so. This team just didn't want to be there. So let's just get into the game here. So our offense sticks. That's I guess my takeaway. We don't have a quarterback. Our receivers can't catch. We don't have an offensive line that can open up any types of holes for the running backs. Can't protect the quarterback, at least for the first 40 minutes, right? Nothing good went our way. On the other side of the ball, our D-line got no penetration. Their quarterback threw it well. Outside of the 14 turnovers that they had, that was the only thing keeping us in the game. It's an absolute embarrassment that we won the turnover battle. We had two block kicks And, you know, it still took a furious fourth quarter comeback to even get in contention of the game. So that's the story of the game. I don't even want to break it down further. I know we have to. It's just that's what our show is. But that's my take from 10,000 feet there, Matt.
Yeah, there's just so many problems. Again, I don't think it's a talent thing. I think you're lower on the talent than I am. I think, Brown.
Yeah.
But
I don't think we have a quarterback, and you do. I think that's one of the biggest differences.
Well, let's look at the first 40 minutes. I mean, it is an execution issue. Obviously, he missed a wide open Jeff Smith on the first drive. There were a lot of overthrows and just general bad plays, but you know, no one else was picking up either. I mean, there were plenty of terrible drops. It did seem like every time Smith got off the line, he had 5 yards of space, but we either were overthrowing him at 15 yards or the ball was bouncing off his face mask. So there is execution issues all over the ball, but once we put it together, it does show that something is there, and we even saw it on the special team side. For me, you know, obviously that's a huge frustration, but the other part of it was just the play calling in the first 40 minutes. Every single time we had the ball, it was the predictable run for total of 2 yards, and then on third and eight, you know, we'd throw an out route for like 4 yards. We wouldn't even get near the sticks. And we did that pretty much 15 drives in a row until we got to, you know, late in the third quarter. It's just, you know, what are we doing as a college football program, as an ACC program, going on the road, you know, in a game that we were, what, less than a touchdown underdogs, and we just completely lay an egg. It is so much more frustrating to me than Purdue was. We can kind of wash away Purdue as a non-conference game. Yeah, it sucks, but kind of get over with it. This is a team that we clearly showed again for the back half of the game that we're better than, and it was a ripe opportunity to get a huge win, potentially get us back into the top 25 and keep our hopes of the ACC championship alive and well.
And you realize everything sort of starts with offensive line play. Really, both sides of the line have seriously regressed from last year. And obviously, we lost Landry, but we didn't really even have Landry last year. So defensively, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to chalk up a lot of it, because I don't know what else to do. A lot of it is to losing Paul Pasqualoni. Much bigger impact than any of us realized, because, you know, we have Zach Allen back. Wyatt Wright obviously, you know, has something that he can do, right? But it's really the tackles that are just getting sandwiched. That's not the right word. What's that? What happens?
Kind of works. Steamrolled.
Pancaked. I was looking for a separate dish there, Matt. You know, just every time, and you know, it allows, you know, if the guards pancake them, allows the tackles to get upfield. Our linebackers can't get penetration. That was the biggest failure, in my opinion, was their running backs, who are middle of the road. These guys are not good running backs, right? To just have these wide open running lanes every single time down the field. I don't know that we ever had a tackle for a loss. I should check the box score on that, but I can't remember a single time where, you know, our guys got penetration, particularly in the run game defensively, and made a stop, you know, at any point in the game. Looking back on it, I don't know how we only gave up 28 points. It really is, and it's all the turnovers.
Yeah, no, but it's the turnovers. That's all it was, right? We had, you know, whatever, two of those turnovers were in the red zone at least.
But you take those away, right? And it's a 50-3 game, right? Instead of 28. It's insane.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of, you know, kind of mirrors how and we talked about this after Wake and Temple as well, how, you know, on the scoreboard it was a one score game, but if we got rid of those mistakes, we win by 20 points and we feel much better. They pretty much had the exact same thing. There was no reason, based on how we played in the first 40 minutes, that game should have been remotely close. But, you know, again, at the same time, you know, Finley is very good, but we still did make those big plays that should have allowed to keep us in. Where I'm more upset at the defense, again, is the run, like you said, that just makes absolutely no sense. Putting Dennis at cornerback, to me, is a head-scratcher. He's an All-American safety, and he was just getting absolutely lit up all night at cornerback because it's a completely different position. I'd rather, you know, plug in a second or third string cornerback, kind of get beat there, but have a strong safety presence.
Yeah, I don't.
That one didn't make sense to me.
It's easy to say that in hindsight, though, right? You didn't know that he was going to have a terrible game as corner, but maybe you tried out in practice.
But after a quarter.
But you saw our corner, and I don't want to say his name, but there was a guy back there who was a pretty weak link, right, who was getting burned by everyone. So credit the coaching staff on the surface, at least for recognizing that and making an adjustment against these very good NC State receivers. But yeah, it was disappointing that he got burned quite a few times. I think multiple touchdowns were scored on him.
As was the final, you know, third down that iced it. Speaking of, by the way,
we set the house on that. You can't blame him on that.
No, I get that. But in general, throughout the game, and it's been a problem throughout the season, our third down defense. We get like third and 10 and third and 15s. It feels like seven times a game, and every single time they convert it. And it speaks to our offense as well, too. I think there was a stat midway through the third quarter. We were like 1 for 10 on third down, and they were like 10 for 12.
Yeah.
And
yep.
When you have a good offense like NC State does, you have to get them off the field when you have opportunities. And we had multiple third and long, not just, you know, third and six, third and long. And they got off, they got, you know, they kept on the field every time. So just painfully frustrating to watch that game. The opportunities were right there. And again, it's when you see the talent this team has and the way they played in the fourth quarter. And I know a lot of people downplayed it and said, you know, it's just NC State took their foot off the gas. I really don't think that's true. I think we finally just executed, played to a game plan that really got us through the back half of the year last year. So when you see how good it can be, it just drives you absolutely nuts.
We're going to disagree.
Why do we watch it?
We're going to disagree a little bit on that one, Matt. I mean, I don't think the game plan was all that different other than it had to be, right? We had to throw, you know, 70% versus, you know, 40%.
Oh, fine.
Right? So,
but fine. Even ignore the game plan itself, the execution. But then the game plan, we can all agree, is completely different now. And really, it has been since Wake Forest than it was the back half of the schedule last year. We've reverted to what we looked like at the start of the year last year and prior to that. And I don't get it. I don't understand what the idea is if you know, Daz is saying, yeah, we have the talent now that we can just kind of go out and, you know, just try to beat them and be bigger than them. But look, that's just not the case. We're not Alabama. We're not going to just steamroll people. We need to have some creativity, and it has just gone completely out the window.
Yeah, but you can't run trick plays every time, Matt.
I need to establish
the running game. That's that we've said that for six episodes now. You have to establish the running game first. Obviously, we couldn't do that, but when we can do it, you know, like we did against Wake, good things happen. It opens up. We don't have the talent across the board to be able to, you know, do this high powered offense that you see some of these other schools do. We can't do it. And really the only reason we got back into it to begin with was kind of fluky anyway, right? Yeah, you think about that. It was maybe our second touchdown that was set up by, it's like a 40-yard pass to Walker where his defender fell down, right? You can't count on that every time. You know, our first
touch. But then on the other side, you can say, yeah, but you can't count on Jeff Smith dropping 50-yard bombs when he is wide open and, you know, basically free touchdown. So it's on both sides of it. It's just complete lack of execution, which, again, to me goes obviously to the players, but it goes to the coaching staff as well. How can you guys not have your team prepared? This is, again, and I think it's probably pretty evident if you're listening to this, but this is the most deflated I've been. I actually thought I was feeling pretty good midweek, and we'll talk about the spin zone here, but just rehashing this, it's making me legitimately angry all over again.
Do you blame Adazio or Loeffler?
I think everyone. I think
Do you think Adazio's taken over the playbook again, as everyone else is saying? I love that. Every time we have a bad game, it's Adazio calling the plays. It's like Loeffler's like Rain Man. I don't know if I use that rightly.
The head coach is like absolutely influencing the strategy. He's not physically saying, yeah, run a, you know, whatever inside handoff here, but there's definitely a meeting and the head coach is the one deciding, yeah, you know what, this game, I want to really make sure we pound the ground game and hope that some things open up. So maybe they have gone to that style of it. I don't know. It's very frustrating. And again, 2 years in a row, I think we've had a frustrating loss to NC State. Obviously last year's was different because it was the, you know, Anthony Brown injury, and I think everyone agrees that if he stayed healthy that game, it, you know, probably one that we come away with. But it sucks losing to these guys, you know, losing to these guys 2 years in a row on winnable games.
Right. Yeah. I think they actually suck, Matt. I don't think that's
I do too. I really. Yeah.
But I don't know. That's enough on the offense. I think we both agree that, you know, we got to do something different there. I don't know if you want to bring in a different quarterback at this point. I saw some posts that it's time to give Andover's finest EJ Perry a run. I don't know if that's the answer, you know, having played in the MIAA division. I don't know that that's going to really get you into ACC play against the likes of Clemson, Virginia Tech, et cetera. So I think Anthony's got to be the guy this year. We do have to figure out who else. We have a million quarterbacks on the roster for the next, you know, year or so. Hopefully one of those are good. But in my opinion, and I was not nearly as high on Tony touchdowns as you were at the beginning of the year. But I did jump on the bandwagon after Wake. I really thought he had what it took. And I don't know what his issue is, but it's getting to a point where maybe he just isn't all that talented, Matt.
Yeah, look, I agree. He's been very disappointing over the last couple games, really since Purdue. And our offense goes as he goes. Obviously, Dylan's a huge piece of how our offense performs as well, too. But I will do a little mini pood getting ahead here of I am getting pretty sick of, you know, well, yeah, maybe he's not playing to the top of the ACC as we would like. the answer is not going to, as you said, a Northern Massachusetts quarterback that nobody has seen play beyond the spring game, yet every single message board, every single BCI comment, every single Eagle Atlanta comment is, I can tell this guy's a gamer. You know, he's going to come in over the top.
He played great against Holy Cross.
It is infuriating. It is absolutely infuriating from the and it drives me insane.
Yeah.
He is Troy Flutie 2.0
yes.
at best.
Best case.
At best.
Right.
Sickening.
All right. That's the offense is what it is. But this is the first week that I'll come out and say it. Turns out our defense isn't that great either. Huh, Matt?
No.
And I touched on it in the intro, but it really starts with those defensive tackles. If those guys can't figure it out, I mean, we have a depth issue too. We don't have guys that can get in there. And when they, you know, the guys that are in there are not all that effective at you know, soaking up the offensive line. But the number of times that they had Finley, you know, I didn't think that the pass defense was all that bad. Well, up front, I thought they were getting some pressure up front coming off the edge. I thought Zach Allen was at least close to it, fighting through double teams. But the number of times, there was a 3rd and 16 in particular that I remember where they had like 3 near sacks on him and Finley danced out of the pocket to convert.
Did he get it? Did they convert? I bet they converted.
Matt, they did. They converted most of their downs on that game. Yeah. Now it's incredible, and it's not, I don't think it's a credit to Finley, you know, escaping or whatever it is. I just think our guys just, I mean, it's a tackling issue as well. It's, you know, and really they need to spend this entire week working on tackling. Thank God we're not playing against Lamar Jackson, this weekend, cause we would not be able to bring him down. He would have 8 touchdowns, I think.
All right. So I do want to touch on it, and I hate bringing it into it because it's not the reason that we lost. But these refs, and maybe you were going to get to it in your pood, but we can touch on it multiple times because it deserves repeating. They were an absolute disgrace throughout the entire game, but more specifically in that comeback. They completely robbed our guys from having a chance to pull off the 28-3 part two upset. The Ben Glines fumble, the forward progress that wasn't in that play. He also got punched in the head that somehow everybody missed. And then, of course, obviously the terrible spot on 3rd down on NC State's clock killing drive there. So, you know, obviously the Ben Glines one ended up working out into a touchdown, but it cost us 2 minutes off the clock. And then, of course, at the end of it, giving them an extra first down that it would have given us the ball back with, you know, 2 minutes and basically allowed them to salt it away. So obviously not 100% the reason we lost. The refs didn't necessarily put us in the hole, but a huge component, and it really does change the game. And it does feel like we're just not, you know, even allowed to play on the same field. It sounds like, too, obviously we couldn't see it from where we were sitting, but it sounds like they were holding on pretty much every single play.
They were, yeah. I watched the replay, Matt. They're the 20-minute.
Oh, God help you. I wanted to. I could not bring myself to watch another second of that.
I had to turn it off every 5 minutes. But, no, it's true, especially on the end, as I was saying. Zach Allen was fighting through those double teams. One guy was holding. But, I don't think you can blame that as much. It was kind of an electric environment. I didn't realize NC State fans were
that
passionate.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was loud in there, and we tried to get loud in our 30-person BC section, but I don't think they
I'll take the under on 30, by the way.
Yeah, probably, right? But no, that was disappointing because it's the second time that's resulted in a loss. You think about Purdue, a couple of ridiculous calls there. So that targeting, I don't understand whatsoever that got Richardson out of the game. I was actually, Matt, you know what's funny? I was still in the parking lot when that happened. So, okay. And we'll get to this, but part of the tailgating scene at NC State, you can leave at halftime and go back to your car and grab a beer or whatever. I was so deflated after that first half. I had to get dragged back in the third quarter. I didn't want to go back, Matt. I had seen enough, and I thought that we were done. Especially when it was 28-3, I thought I was done. So anyway, I saw the replay. That was not a target. I don't know what the rest were looking at, but that's just you know, being a road team in the ACC as a Northerner, I guess we're gonna have to fight through that.
Yeah, again, it's just really frustrating, and I hope that Jarmond or, you know, someone in the staff is at least like bringing these things up. They were clearly cut and dry. This isn't a judgment call of you missed a couple calls here and there. I mean, that 3rd down conversion, he was a yard and a half short. And they basically gave it to him, no problem at all. So I hope that this is actually being brought up the chain and just saying, look, we can't stand for this. Again, I don't think there's a conspiracy against Boston College. I wouldn't put it past the ACC, but I'm not going to go that far. But we just got to get a fair shake in one way or another. And I don't know what's going on. But overall, again, just I think a fitting way to end a frustrating game. I do want to ask you your thoughts on, and I don't think he's all the way there yet, but Adazio's seat is definitely getting a little bit warm. Is that fair to say?
Matt, I'll save it for my pood. How's that?
Yeah, all right, fair enough. That's a good segue. And I, to end on a positive note, how about that? We're not dead. The ACC is still winnable, but we need to flip the switch the way we did last year after Vatek and become a different team and leverage the talent that we know we have.
Except this year, our schedule was front loaded.
It is.
Or other way around, right?
Yeah.
We're doing it the opposite way. And
yes.
If we play anything like we did against NC State, against Purdue, and it turns out Wake sucks, right? We have no evidence of us being a good football team. So to think that we're going to pull off upsets, Clemson's laughable at this point. Miami is
well,
very,
yeah, but Clemson,
very
but Clemson
unlikely.
Doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, they do. Didn't what's his name play the other day?
We weren't watching. I'll put my hand up on that.
Trevor Rudolph, is that his name? Mason?
Nope, not even
Trevor.
Close.
Trevor Lawrence, that might be a D lineman. I don't know. Whatever the guy is, Sunshine, right? I think he's back in it, Matt. So, but it doesn't matter. They could throw me out there, and that D line would eat up our. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Duteus corpus. We'll cover it then. But to think that we're gonna have some type of miracle comeback is not going to happen. I think 7-5 is officially our ceiling, but we're getting way ahead of this episode.
That's, all right.
I know.
I'll be honest. That's more depressing than all right. Interesting.
That slipped out. That I don't know if I mean that yet.
Yeah, that's dark.
Yeah, I know. All right.
I mean, let's look at it this way. Look at it, if we got the ball back, and let's say the refs didn't screw us over, and we got the ball back with 2 minutes there. I mean, I had full confidence that we were going to win that game. We were moving the ball at will. Jeff Smith, like I said, was getting 7 yards of separation every single time. I had 100% confidence that if we got the ball back with over 2 minutes, we were going to win that game and go on to run the table. So, you know, it is. You talk about that margin of error that we knew we wouldn't have. We kind of came into the season saying this is on a knife's edge and, you know, a couple of things go our way and we're in the playoff. A couple of things go against us and we're, you know, 5-7. So I still have that confidence that we are right there and we can figure it out. But we need a complete overhaul from the top down.
And a healthy Dylan and everyone.
And a healthy
up.
Dylan.
Agreed. All right. So I think that just about covers NC State. Let's put that out of our memory and move on here. So let's move into the segments here, Matt. I'll kick it off if you don't mind, because we touched on it earlier. And this one's kind of a funny one, in my opinion, because it usually pooed means something bad, right? That's how this show works.
Yeah, normally that's the rule. These segments don't have a lot of rules. That's kind of the one rule.
It's the one rule, right? Mine is more, hey, it's a you'll figure it out here. All right. So my pooed this week is, and we touched on Daz and his hot seat's getting a little warm. I don't want to call it a hot seat yet, but his seat is getting warm, right? And with that, the nicknames return. And Matt, I love the nicknames that people come up with for Coach Addazio. So Dazzler, that's pretty tame, right?
Yep.
Daz the Spaz, because he yells at the refs, right?
Well, also because he's like Spaziani, probably. That works on a couple levels.
He's not like Spaziani. He rebuilt this program, Matt.
I get that, but I'm saying in terms of losing, it's bringing back
my
bad memories.
Daz truther mode here. my personal favorite one is Dazzo shit.
I love that one.
And that's where Poot comes in. What does that mean? Is that like an allusion to something?
I think it's just no. They are implying that Daz is shit. I think it's
Dazzo shit. That means nothing to anyone.
I think it's as simple as that. Yeah.
All right. So that's you see where I'm getting the pood from, Matt. I'm going to take it one step further. I was on one of the websites today, and I saw a commenter who I believe to be a grown man, on one of the posts about like a throwback uniform. Right. Say, why don't we put the numbers on the helmet? Because then the Dazzler could wear number 2, because he's a shithead.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. You got to kind of go down the rabbit hole, but I like it.
Man, I was at work today. I was dying laughing in my cube. I couldn't stop laughing. It was hilarious. So that's my pood. You know, the hot seat's returned, and the nicknames for Daz are back.
I love it. I'll go on the positive note here. So the quick first dude I have is the new uniforms that we're wearing this week. Much rumored, and you know, credit to us for kind of being on top of that. And we'll get to that in a little bit about kind of how we were, you know, kind of the Indiana Joneses here who figured that one out. But overall, good, not perfect. I think the pants are a little mustardy, so a little pooed within the dude. But overall, I'm very happy with this trend.
Matt, I got a hot tick that's going to hurt our brand a little bit.
You hate them.
It's not even that I don't like what they just rolled out. I'm not as obsessed. I don't even want to say this because everyone is obsessed with it, so I know I must be wrong. I'm not as obsessed with the whole throwback thing as everyone else is. I think that logo is great as is. And maybe it's
our current italicized logo with a clip art eagle on it is horrible.
Well, it's not clip art. I think that's something that someone said, and I don't think that's actually true. I don't think they got it from clip art. Maybe it's because I started my fandom in, like, I don't know, 2003, call it, right?
And that's perfect. If that fits in 2003. It's remarkably early 2000s.
Right. No, they had the current logo when I became a kind of a diehard fan, right? So maybe that's why I don't know. It doesn't really matter. This is not important, but I'm just putting that out there in case anyone else also isn't in love with the uniforms and agrees with me. That's
you guys
great.
Can You guys have a little focus group. All right, my other dude is, and maybe we're going to touch on this shortly, but the trip itself, Raleigh itself as a city was awesome. Blew away my expectations. Felt, you know, like a legitimate city. A ton of great restaurants and bars. We had an absolutely awesome time. Can't say enough good things about our trip again, except really for those 3 hours. Within that as well, I need to give credit, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, but the stadium atmosphere, it was much better than I expected it. The crowd was loud. On every third down, they were instantly loud. They didn't need, you know, a prompt from the PA. Very hostile environment. Obviously, them being top 25, you know, livens that up. And then I will also need to give a little love to the like music guy there. Had some really good song choices throughout the game. My personal favorite was him playing the Cantina song from Star Wars on the most crucial third down of the game. Made absolutely no sense. Complete wild card, but I absolutely loved it. Overall, a great experience down there. That's all I have on the positive side of this week, and everything else is bad.
I'm gonna pile on. That's my dude as well, obviously.
Okay.
If you guys haven't been to Raleigh, or really the whole research triangle, they call it, the whole, you know,
Durham, Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I was gonna get there, Matt.
All right.
You got to do it. I went to Chapel Hill last year. It was awesome. Raleigh was great. Having trouble pronouncing it now though, Matt. Had a couple cold ones here. But so specifically, if you've never driven a truck, shoot, man, not you great, huh? All right, this is my last one. If you've never driven a pickup truck down south, you haven't lived. I convinced Matt to let us get a rental car and do the whole tailgate thing and just, you know, driving a pickup truck, windows down, through the back roads in North Carolina. It's just brought me back to the southern days, Matt. And I'll tell you, the tailgate was great. NC State fans were kind of meaner than I thought. I think.
Spoiler alert. Let's just segue right. My poot is the NC State fans were not that great.
Yes. Go ahead.
It was, they weren't all bad. Shout out to Chuck, the guy who we bought a parking.
Chuck was great. I'll tell you what. We met Chuck right outside the NC State bookstore. Couldn't even understand what he was saying. He was so Southern. Said y'all 14 times. That guy was great.
He should be our dude of the week. That's a bad job.
Matt, spoiler alert.
Okay, sorry. But yeah, but overall there were some bad experiences. We had a couple really terrible people kind of sitting near us.
I don't think there were students. There was some really drunk girl that was just horrible, and she was just
she'll be addicted to meth in a few years.
But just to bring it back, Matt, we were surrounded by some great guys across the way, and overall I think they didn't like us. The guys across the way were great, and they, you know, were offering us food and utensils and
I didn't get offered anything. What the heck?
Well, I was chatting them up, Matt, because okay. I speak their language.
You're one of them, right?
Matt, this is gonna be like an hour and a half episode. We're so far beyond. But this is important. So but those guys across the way were great. But then when we started playing shipping up to Boston, and we're just, you know, dancing on the pickup truck,
we got a little rowdy. Yeah,
We were kind of asking for it. A little obnoxious. Fair, that's what you do down south. So and last thing, we can move on. I was getting people, some people wearing Red Sox hats. So then I was going, hey, go Boston. And then they'd be like, yeah, man, college, I'd add. And then that really got them there.
Absolutely roasted them.
You might have had to be there for that one. But that was a fun one. Memorable for me.
That's good. My only other boot of the week is the koozies now seem a little messed up. It was just really bad timing, honestly, for us to roll out a case of 100 Steve Adazio koozies for him to follow it up with.
Plenty still available.
One of his worth.
Plenty still available if anyone wants them. They're still very much in stock. So
we might have to start paying people for those. But yeah, not great timing there. Who's your dude of the week?
There's really only one to pick from. The only unit that played well is special teams, right? And I don't know who to give it to, because really the whole unit played well, both sides of the ball. Ricky Brown, special teams single-handedly kept us in that game. Walker continues to be solid. We had the blocked field goal, the blocked punt, the forced fumble on the punt. We mixed up the coverage schemes, to get in there, get penetration. And most importantly, Matt, no one blocked our punts. So
that's huge. Yep.
And we didn't miss any field goals. So wins all around for the special teams. Unfortunately, we are now 2-0 when a punt gets blocked, and winless when we block punts. So that's the only caveat I'll add there.
That's a good point. It's an interesting way to look at it. Maybe forward that along to Coach Brown's office. Matt, I'm going to go actually off the board for my dude of the week. Other than Chuck, who we already mentioned, I'm going to go with us for dude of the week here for two reasons. So first off is ourselves included, but everyone was very negative throughout the game on Saturday, and rightly so for all the reasons that we talked about. We were the first ones to get the spin zone turned in the right direction and picked the optimism back up. Like I said, this was the most negative I felt about a team in a long, long, long time. But within, I'd say, about, what, 2 hours from the final whistle, we talked ourselves back into an ACC championship because the conference is so bad. It's a down conference. We have weapons, and we are really good if we get all systems going. We just got to figure it out. And again, I think our optimism and our spin zone hopefully picked up some people on Saturday afternoon, got everyone a little excited for the rest of the way.
I don't recall that happening, Matt.
Okay.
And granted, I had a couple – someone else drove the truck home, don't worry. But I had a couple called ones. Don't recall that particular instance happening. Kudos to you if you were able to turn one or two people.
It fully happened. Well, also us then for being all over the throwback uni drop. I know you hate it, but we've predicted this for the last like 6 months. Not specifically that we were just going to do it, that we were going to do it for the Louisville game. Check the timestamps. So a big shout out to us for being on top of that. Honestly, Matt, if this whole podcasting doesn't work out, I do think we have a potential job in the Boston State Police as kind of the detective unit to sniff this out the way we did.
That's one of the biggest leaps I've ever seen, Matt. Wow. Impressed. Okay. Very impressed. Okay. All right. What's next time? Is it Dutius Corpus time?
Let's do it.
All right, Matt. Court is now in session. And let's kick it off. I don't have any because all I know is the ACC sucks. Do you have any? I hope you have some. And then we can.
I got a few. And again, I'm going to attribute you not having any to, again, the post-game tailgate. And a few cold ones down in Raleigh there for all of us, but we happen to see some of the games Saturday night. So I think we've got a couple things to cover on. The first one, and this one makes me absolutely sick to my stomach. Well, actually, two. I'm going to do two here. So the first is Notre Dame being charged with actually being really good and possibly making the playoff. It makes my skin crawl, but I have a really bad feeling about how the season's going to end up.
I'm going to say this every time we bring an ACC team into the courtroom. I don't think beating Virginia Tech means anything. They're still good enough to beat us, especially without A.J. Dillon. But I don't put another feather in Notre Dame's cap because of that win last weekend.
Okay, fine. But, I mean, can you not deny that they looked phenomenal and really – I mean, ooh, they've had a couple tests, Michigan, Stanford. I mean, they've looked tremendous throughout the year, except for the games against Vandy and Ball State where they sucked. Their challenges, they passed them with flying colors.
You should talk to Father Leahy about maybe revoking your diploma and maybe retroactively transferring there.
Okay, we'll hold that thought because the second person I want to bring into the courtroom is Brian Kelly retroactively for murder. 5 years ago, I believe it was, he killed the student manager. And I don't know, people don't talk about it enough.
It was in cold blood, I'll tell you what.
It was literally in cold blood. I think, like, literally there's a recording of him being like, I don't care that it's 100-mile-an-hour winds. I want this poor kid who all he wants to do is you know, be a part of this football team. I want him to die. And, you know, it's really sickening when you get down to it. And we're the only ones who are on top of it. I mean, we tweeted out once a week now that we tagged the FBI and the CIA and the Indiana State Police, and no one seems to be picking it up. But there is a negligent murderer on the loose in South Bend, and I don't know what we're missing and why people are looking the other way, but it's really sad when people put football above murder.
All right, moving on. Really good point, Matt. I don't know who else to talk about, Matt. Syracuse, obviously the miracle.
You got to talk about Syracuse.
The miracle season is shattered. They lost in OT to Pittsburgh, who is not a good football team. So that's not a great look for Cuse. As we've said, though, one win or one loss in the ACC can still get you in. Oh, just check the tape. They now have two losses. I forgot they lost to Clemson. They are officially guilty of being out of the playoff, Matt.
That's sad. I feel really bad for you on that one. I know that one probably hurts. Miami is back. The question is, are they charged with
being
actually bad? No, hang on. I read this wrong.
All right.
So is the charges, is FSU getting better each week or is Miami actually bad? You follow me there?
Yeah, it was a bit of a double negative.
Yes, double jeopardy.
Yeah, I think you have to go double jeopardy, Matt. Yep. I think, and what that means is that they're both either good or they're both bad. Matt, can you take this one? I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, so it's a little like Schrodinger's cat, I think, in that regard.
Right.
Here's my thought. I am not happy that we have to play FSU so late in the year because I do think they are putting the pieces together slowly each week. I still think they're a very bad football team, and that's a game we absolutely should win. But I would much rather have played them, you know, I'll play them like midweek. I'll play them tomorrow just to kind of get it over with because every week that does go by, I think they get better and better. On the other side of it, I do think Miami is actually bad. They really didn't have any right to win that game. They happen to have a pretty fierce fourth quarter comeback here, but we've been on this bandwagon for a year and a half now, but Miami just does not really intimidate us as much as they should for being a top, you know, whatever they are, top 15 team at this point. So
they come to play at night, Matt. They'll come.
They do, but not a Friday night. Yeah, but not a Friday night.
Is that true? I don't know. You have to check.
I don't know. That sounds right.
Primetime game, Matt. I think they'll show up.
Okay.
I got nothing else. And
my last two. Texas is officially back. They're guilty of being back.
Agreed. Yeah, that was a good one.
And then Kentucky, unfortunately, was assaulted over the weekend. Hate to see that. We were all on their bandwagon. Shout out to our good friend Patrick Toles. But they finally fell to A&M. The Cinderella season is still going to be a very great year. And they're still, I think, top 20 right now. But the college football playoff has died. So they were assaulted. A&M is guilty of assault. I can't think of any other legal terms to throw in here, Matt.
Well, cats have nine lives, Matt. And they're Wildcats.
I did not.
I had a bad segment here, Matt. Can we get out of this one?
Yeah, let's move on. Let's adjourn the court.
All right, court is adjourned.
All right, let's Eagles in the Wild. Hopefully this goes better. Let's take a step back here. I think we have an excuse built in that we were on the road all weekend, so it's okay that we were completely 100% focused on college football. So I'm gonna let us have that excuse in general. I'll go with my Eagles in the Wild here, Matt. I have one, John Johnson III, who is turning into a phenomenal defensive back in the NFL for the Los Angeles Rams. So there was a great clip that kind of went mini viral of him on Sunday. So Sean McVay, good looking coach, went for it on 4th-and-1 late in the game, a very ballsy effort. It works. Video pans over to the sideline as John Johnson standing there right behind Coach McVay doing the Sam Cassell juggling of the large testicles. I don't know if you saw that clip.
Yeah, Matt, it was great. Real treat.
It was laugh out loud funny.
Yes, good one. I always like JJ. He's a great kid.
Yeah, I agree. And I love Sean McVay, and Matt, I would love for him to one day coach at Boston College.
Tell her we could use his services this year.
That would be really nice.
All right. I got one right in the nick of time here. Matt, remember Steve Logan?
I do. Yeah. Breaking news.
Steve Logan is officially, and I'm going to struggle with this because I don't know what I'm reading here. He's officially the offensive coordinator for something called the AAF. Which is the Alliance for American Football.
No, so he's the Birmingham Irons is the team.
Yes, not for the whole AAF. League. You're right. He's not correct. The, yes, I was going to get there eventually.
Here, it's Matt. It's like neighborhood football. He's the all-time offensive coordinator for all the teams.
Yes, and the AAF is a new league that Troy Polamalu, I believe, wants to start next year. They also grabbed a former O-line coach from BC. And also, I think, if I'm reading this right, Carnell Williams, who I think is Cadillac Williams, but don't quote me on that one.
Okay. I can't speak to that. Is Hartford getting a team in this league? They seem like a good minor league football city.
Matt, I can't do any more. You talk more about Hartford than I do about.
Well, I'm just saying, if Hartford's in, I will care about this league. But if not, I'm on to the XFL.
And that, I'll tell you, Matt, that just about covers Eagles in the Wild.
I think we nailed it.
I think this podcast has been about an hour and a half here. So let's move into not Purdue. I'm dealing with an old cheat here. Louisville is who we're playing.
Yes. Yes. What's your fun fact?
Matt, what's your fun fact?
I'll start with it. So, again, since I didn't want to repeat the facts that I've done in previous years, I went completely off the grid here. I don't know how correct this is, but here's what I found. 90% of disco balls currently in production are made in Louisville, Kentucky.
All right. Nothing to add there. That covers that. I got a fun fact. It's a state law, so it's not specific to Louisville, so I cheated a little bit. It's illegal in the state of Kentucky, Matt, to put an ice cream cone in your pocket.
Huh.
And just a quick anecdote here. We had a roommate who once took a whole pizza from a dining hall late at night. Realized he didn't have his wallet with him, and he committed a bit of a crime. He put the pizza into his jeans and walked right out with it.
Let's bring him into duteous corpus next time.
Yeah, and then just finished it in a couple bites there. So a lot of memories from BC coming
back.
Can't
do that in Kentucky, I guess.
You sure? With ice cream, probably with anything else. Yes.
All right. Those were, I'll say, our two funnest facts back to back that we've had in some time. So good job by us there. Let's move right into tailgate ability score. Again, a reminder out of 30 Bud Lights. So a couple of positive facts. It is homecoming weekend, but I will say it seems like of most of the groups, it's not a huge turnout. I don't know, at least because of our group, maybe because we were in Raleigh last weekend. But I will be there. 4th and Dude will be in attendance. It was my first game back on the Heights since
half of 4th and Dude.
Half of 4th and Dude.
I'm electing not to go.
Correct. Smart choice. So I'll be there, which is cool. The throwback unis do help the tailgate ability score. It will be cool to see those in person, although I know you hate them. On the negative side.
That'll wear off after like 2 minutes, Matt, I think.
It probably will. Yep. It's coming off a very deflating loss, so that's going to definitely hurt the tailgate scene. the general passion for the program is not nearly as high as it should be right now based on the schedule and based on how this team, you know, looked coming into the year. It's a terrible opponent, which I'll say is a good and a bad thing, because at least they are still an ACC school, so it is nice to see a hopefully easy conference win. It's not like you're seeing UMass, but at the same time, it's not going to be an exciting game. Hopefully, football weather, Matt, this could go a few different ways. So earlier in the week, it was just perfect fall football weather.
Matt,
dry,
I've been, just to,
sunny.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I've been waiting all week for this forecast, so.
Well, you know, and again, you know what they say, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. It's kind of the same with the forecast, because it's been changing pretty much nonstop from Monday when I start checking the forecast, you know, 6 days out. So it's been dry and sunny and 55, really good football, New England weather. But now there's some rain starting to creep in on Saturday, which is obviously terrible. Should be dry for Fenway at night, which is good news, because you don't want any rain during the ALCS. But if it rains during the game, that just and more importantly during the tailgate, that's about as bad as it gets. Coming off a win, I actually think this would be a very high score if we were 5-1, knocking on the door of the top 25, throwback uniforms, easy win. It's not, so I'm going to go with a 20.3, which is a very low score, especially considering the fact that I'll be there.
That is way too high, Matt. I compare this, and I won't go into all the facts. I mean, it's Louisville. I liken this one to Temple, except we have another loss on our schedule. It's a must win, right? If we lose this game, Daz might actually get fired on the spot. Mm-hmm. That's how bad Louisville is. It's to the point where, you know, you hear Daz talk up the opponent. He's actually not even saying how good Louisville is this year or this week. He left that out. So that's how you know they're bad. I mean, he said UMass was a really, really talented football
team. He did. And so, we thought we were going to lose to UMass, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. So if he's saying that, or he's not saying that they're a good football team, he's saying they're going to get better, which is, you know, that means that like they're the worst team in the world. So anyway, you know, they're actually really bad. We'll get into them in a second. You nailed it when you said it. You know, if we won last week, everything changes. You know, we have one win or one loss, rather, one conference loss, most importantly, which I guess we still do. But
yeah, we'd have zero conference losses.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Matt, yep. I was doing the math in my head. So with all that said, and weather contingent, Matt. You know, I care about the weather.
Thank you.
I got this at 14.7. That's how low I have it. It's a conference game against what is historically a good foe. It just doesn't do it for me this week. 12:30 kickoff, the whole nine. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you, unfortunately. It really is a shame. This could be a very special Saturday, very special homecoming, and it just the buzz is completely out of it. So too bad there. Moving on into the top five plus six man notable mascots. Again,
Matt,
a reminder.
And Matt.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have a special guest for this one.
Okay.
I'm sitting right next to, we have a live audience, and I'm sitting right next to the PT from, as you guys all know, PT and the Gib Dog. Am I saying that
the
right?
The leading Celtics podcast.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. So if you haven't yet, check them out. Celtics are kicking off next week. So it's when are you guys recording your next pod?
This weekend. We'll do a little ALCS preview as well.
So there you go.
But yeah, longtime listener, first time guest here.
So here we go.
Awesome.
So
now, welcome aboard. All right. Well, with that, I guess, PT, you can kick it off here with your first pick.
Can we talk rules? So usually we do six. Do you want to do two apiece? I only have two, so that would work out well for me.
Yeah, that works out.
Okay. All right. We'll do a snake draft still, though, with three people. We'll figure it out. My first Cardinal, right, and just to explain the rules, you were touching on it, it's mascot, famous mascots. This week it's Louisville, so it's famous Cardinals.
Correct.
And you can be creative with it. It can be fun. You guys will figure it out here. My first famous Cardinal is going to be Mark McGwire. He was obviously just a legend in particularly 1998. The home run chase was one of the best summers of baseball in history. I really love that whole Cardinal team, Matt. You think about Jim Edmonds, Scott Rolen, Fernando Tatis, who, a couple fun facts about him, he had two grand slams in one inning, and he also may have dated Joe Buck. So,
yep.
Google it.
Yep.
I didn't make that up. So, Matt, what do you got?
So with my first pick here, I'm going to go with the cardinal directions. So north, south, east, and west, commonly known as the cardinal directions. Just, I mean, a staple for life, for telling people how to get around. Without north, south, east, and west, I really don't know how we would describe where we're going. Obviously, you get into the acronyms. Never eat soggy waffles. Yeah, that's right. Northeast, southwest. But overall, cardinal directions, a huge staple for modern life.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a thing. That was a compass, right? That
yes, you used there? Absolutely right. Absolutely
Got it.
Right.
Creative there, Matt.
All right, so number three, I'm going to go another different direction. I'm going to go Cardinal Richelieu. And you know, both you, Matt, you guys think you're history guys, right? Uh-huh. We're talking Cardinal Richelieu was the chief minister for Louis XIII.
Oh, Pat, American history only. Yeah. American history only here.
All right, all right. I thought this was a secular podcast. So Richelieu was a key strategist in the French rise to power, the 30-Year War, the victories over the Habsburgs. I mean, personally, I'm more of a Louis XIV type of guy, but you know, when I hear cardinals, Richelieu comes right to my head. So happy you guys didn't snag that in the one or the two hole.
Yeah, Matt, I wasn't even close to that one, Pat. Hey, was he the one that was late to the American Revolution? Because we could have used them earlier.
No, this was 1600s.
Yeah, a little early. A little early. All right, Pat, you got one more. You got a back-to-back here.
All right, me again. Safe job. Number four, I'm going to go Brian Cardinal.
Ooh.
On everyone's list. Good steal there.
So 12 seasons as a power forward in the NBA. You guys know his nickname was the Custodian. Probably makes me think of you two as you guys try to play pickup ball. But
ooh.
When I think of the Custodian, I think of Coach Orion in Mighty Ducks 3. You got to take out the trash if you want to win. So
that C better stand for Charlie, because it sure don't stand for captain.
So Cardinal, NBA champion with the Mavs. I would say his biggest accomplishment, though, was winning the gold in the 1998 Goodwill Games. Shout out Wolf Stanson, D2, no big deal.
Who we mentioned last episode. How about that?
All coming together here. I absolutely love it. All right, so with my second pick, the fifth overall, going to go on a little bit of a leap in logic here, I guess, but the movie Seven, a great movie starring Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. Seven Deadly Sins is kind of the overall undertone of the movie, and they go through how it kills everyone or whatever.
Cardinal Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins, as we all know, are more formally referred to as the Cardinal Sins.
I beat you to it. Yep.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the hell that was about, but yeah, the Cardinal Sins and the movie Seven specifically. All right, what's your six? I'm going to ruin this one too.
That's it? That's all you had on that? Okay, man.
Yeah, Matt, how deep do you want me to go? It's a movie.
No, mine's really bad. It's horrible. I didn't even want to present it. Hold on, I have to reference a separate document. The Cardinal chess piece, which apparently is a chess piece. So you think about your bishops.
Yep.
There's also a Cardinal chess piece, but not in typical chess. And don't ask me follow-up questions, please. I'm very much not sure. But it's a fairy chess piece. Okay, so that's what it is. Might be a different game. So anyway, it's a chess piece that looks like a horse, that looks like your knight, right? But it can move like a bishop or a knight. And you can jump over people when moving as a bishop. So when you're doing it as the horse, you can, but not as a bishop. So yeah, this is a nightmare. Matt, any honorable mentions?
Matt, I got a lot of, and somehow fairy chess is not on my list, so it'd be a bad job by me here. So everyone knows I'm a big train guy. I love riding the rails. So the Cardinal is the train route between New York and Chicago. That's not a route that I've encountered yet. It's probably like 12 hours long, but could be a fun thing to put on the to-do list if we, you know, ever go out for a Notre Dame road trip or something like that. Larry Fitzgerald is, I think, one of the most beloved football players of all time, obviously primarily known as an Arizona Cardinal.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to take Pat Tillman. Sorry, you hate the troops, Matt.
Okay. Fair point. Well, not a fair point. That's a very unfair point that I hate the troops, because that's false and erroneous. And cardinal numbers. So I'm a math major. Everybody knows that. Basically, a size of the set of numbers. You need to have a direct injection onto the other set, and that's how you discuss your cardinality. Math major, not a big deal. That's all I got. What about you?
Couple honorable mentions for me. I would have taken Stan the Man Musial as my cardinal on the baseball side. 20-time All-Star. Also got the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Obama, so no big deal. My Arizona Cardinal instead of Larry Fitz would have been Rod Tidwell. Show me that money.
Okay, I like
and,
it.
And last one, Cardinal can be a color. The Stanford Cardinal is actually the color Cardinal and their stupid tree mascot.
People forget that. Yeah, people always think it's a tree. It's not a tree.
That's all I got. It's been a pleasure, boys.
All right.
Tell you guys did a great job. I apologize to all the listeners. I'll do better with the Hokies. I think that's the next one.
I'm sure you will. Yeah. I can imagine so.
Should go great. All right. Do we talk football next, Matt?
Let's do it. I'll be honest. This is going to be very quick for me.
Yeah, thinking the same thing. I mean,
Louisville stinks.
Yeah, and good pronunciation there, Louisville. Good job there.
Louisville, no vowels in Louisville, but they are horrible. They were destroyed by Georgia Tech last weekend, an absolutely embarrassing performance. They were blown out by UVA. This is the worst team, definitely in our side of the ACC and arguably in the entire conference. It would probably be them and UNC for a race for the bottom. But they are absolutely atrocious. Really nothing to get excited about on the football field for this game, other than it allows us to tune up and you know, get things hopefully back on track. They gave us some bulletin board material with their like freshman wide receiver said something along the lines of, you know, what do you see in Boston College's defense? And he said a lot of slow people. Buddy, you're not going to win a conference game all year. Why don't you relax with the trash talk? So I hope we absolutely eviscerate him individually, but the team as a whole. Matt, we have sources now. We curated some sources when we were down in the South. Our sources say that A.J. Dillon is not expected to play this game. We knew he was going to sit out the NC State game prior to it being announced.
But we couldn't tell you guys. We wanted to, but we knew around, I don't know, 8:30 a.m. We got to the tailgate field and we ran into a source and we heard he wasn't on the plane. But we could not tell you guys until it was tweeted out by like a Sports Illustrated guy. We should have just done it. But we
In hindsight, but we're loyal. Integrity. We're journalists. We're loyal. But yeah, beyond that, I think it's just an opportunity to tune some things up, figure out, get everything back on track, maybe get the play calling back to creativity. Matt, people forget that last year Louisville was the turning point game for us as well after our horrible performance at Vautech halfway through the season. So yeah, hope for more of the same.
We're pretty, what happens. We're pretty anemic offensively in the first half of the year, obviously.
Yep.
And it's a testament just how bad, and obviously A.J. Dillon obviously broke out, but it's a testament just how bad their defense was last year. I think they're even worse this year. Obviously, if Georgia Tech's any indication, all they do is let up a billion points to every team they face. I'm not concerned about our offense. I think it'll be like Wake Forest, but you know, multiplied by maybe not two, but multiplied by at least 1.5. I think we can hang 60 on them, despite how you know bad we've looked at times. Mm-hmm. I think if our offensive line can take care of business, everything sort of comes together. Our guys get separation, so I'm not worried about the offensive side. Defensively, though, they can put up some points. They have put up a fair amount of points, with the exception of I think they put up a 3 spot against UVA.
Yep.
But otherwise, they've been pretty close to 30 or more a game. In Alabama, they looked like shit against Alabama too. But outside of that, there's a team that can score. Juwan Pass is a pretty good player. I think he's still in developmental mode. But what they do is they move the ball through the air pretty well. And the freshman receiver is actually having an okay year, right? That's why he's running his mouth a little bit. Our Achilles heel is not being able to stop the run, so we have to sell out on defense a little bit. We have to mix up our blitzes and our coverage, overall. And they can't run the ball. They have not run the ball. I don't think they have a 100-yard rusher all year. So that makes me feel a little bit better. What might happen is they might burn us through the air. So I don't have this as necessarily us, shutting them out, to be sure. I think their offense can, put up some points. And I'm concerned at this point about our secondary. You saw last week what happened with a couple of our corners. I feel bad because Torres, right, he's way undersized. He's like 5'8". And he was going against Kelvin Sampson.
That was a bad...
Oklahoma coach. Yeah,
that's not the right name.
Kelvin Harmon.
It was a really bad matchup for our defensive back. I mean, and those receivers are hard for anyone to guard.
Yeah,
they're humongous. And you combine I'm not going to carry too much stock in it.
Well, but you combine that with not being able to pressure the quarterback. Finley was just tossing up ducks to these guys, and he knew that they were going to come down because of the 6-inch height difference. So,
and that's how we got all the interceptions, but again, I don't want to rehash that.
Well... No, I mean, the Zach Allen one was kind of a fluke, and the other one was over the middle to it was a horrible pass. But no, I agree with you. So there's opportunities to turn the ball over. But it is a concern. I mean, I think it's time for the D-backs to step up. Hopefully no one gets ejected for targeting. I'd like that streak to end. And I hope the special teams keeps it rolling. I think that's kind of my read on the game. It's obviously a must win. This Louisville team is garbage. And I think
it's a must win.
I think we can do it. I think we should win handily, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a must win, and it's a must win comfortably. We kind of said this about Temple as well, but this one to me is even more so. Louisville does not even belong on the same field as an ACC program right now.
Yeah, Matt, you said I think they're going to end the season 2-10. They have 2 wins right. Yeah. I don't see another win on their schedule. Maybe Wake or Syracuse, they win one of those.
Yeah, I don't know.
The best case for them is 3-9, I think.
Yeah, and I don't know who their other, because they've obviously played Georgia Tech, but they have one other game against the other side of the conference. So if it's I don't know who that is, but it could be someone easy. But I think
Miami.
There's a good chance. Okay, then, yeah, that's a loss. Yeah. All right, what do you got for a prediction then?
I don't have it written down, Matt, so why don't you go first and I'll run some numbers.
Okay. Again, I think, like we said, I think we absolutely kill them and we look pretty awesome doing it. I do think there is a switch that flips from what we saw in the first half of the game last Saturday, and this one is never in doubt. If we somehow lose, we burn all of the remaining koozies, so be on the lookout for a fire on Brighton if things happen to go south on Saturday. But overall, I'm going 42-17. Noteworthy about this prediction as well, Matt. No missed extra points because I am fully in on the long man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And just to clarify, that assumes Dillon is not playing, correct?
Correct, yep.
Yeah, so I think that's probably like a against them, it's probably like a 30-point swing, right?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I don't think it's in doubt either way, but yeah, he obviously would make things easier.
Yeah, I think I got a 51, and that's BC. And let me get these other guys. 51 to 34. I think it's never really in doubt. You know, maybe they have a backdoor, a couple touchdowns at the end there, but I think we get out to a good start. Our line wakes up on both sides of the ball. Zach Allen has a big-time game. And we roll into the bye week, and we figure something out. And Matt, and we'll get to it next week. These guys have some time to prepare for the back end of the schedule, yep. Right?
And not looking ahead. It's going to matter.
Not looking ahead. But let's get a win here. Let's get out of Chestnut Hill with a win. And we have 14 days to prep for Miami, and that's where Daz's head should be at. Make some adjustments, figure out what's not working, but first get that W.
Yeah, I hear you. I think, again, at the end of the day, this is a great opportunity to put last week in the rear view mirror and just focus on the task ahead. We've said it, but we can still turn this into a very special year. We kind of just need to harken back to that Daz speech last year pre-Louisville and have it all come together and come together beautifully. Let's have a repeat of Louisville in the second half of the season here and you'll keep it rolling along. But again, it all starts Saturday with a good performance. As always, follow us on Twitter and Instagram for plenty of content throughout game day. Like I said, one half of Fourth and Dude will be back on Brighton, so look forward to seeing everyone out there. Can't wait to see these jerseys in person. And I guess for your sake, I'm happy you're not there in person for that because I know that would be a damper on your day. But
I think look, the whole Matt, town knows you're excited about these jerseys now.
Fair point. But look, at the end of the day, our CFP dreams are officially dead, as has been documented. But the road to Charlotte, it still rolls on.
Is it still, should I say it? Do I have to say it?
I think you have to say it.
All right, I'll say it. It's still a great day to be a dude.
Find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.